Amen. I'm not real good at singing, but I just know, Frank, that any time I open my mouth to sing, it's got to get better by the time it reaches heaven. It just has to. And poor Kelly May, she took after me. Bless her heart. All right. Well, the title of this one is called Be More. And I have this one actually several weeks ago when the Lord led me a different direction. This has to do with the prayer of Jabez. Now, here's what I've noticed. I don't know if you guys noticed, but we are blessing people all the time. Someone sneezes, we go, what's our reply, Angelo? God bless you. We eat. What do we say before we eat? Blessing. Someone leaves the church and they go somewhere and we say, we bless you on your journey or we bless your trip. We just bless everything. It gets kind of watered down. And it shouldn't. So I did some investigating about this blessing. Now, the sneezing thing is interesting. The National Geographic reported this started with Pope Gregory the Great. He uttered it during the bubonic plague in the 6th century because it was a belief that if you sneezed, you were sure to get the bubonic plague and die. So they bless you and run. Bless you and run. The other thing is there was a belief that if you sneeze, your soul jumped out of you. Can you believe that, Dwayne? Yeah, your soul escaped, and Satan could come in. So there are several reasons why we say bless you. Now, my husband, he likes to be blessed after he sneezes. And so he'll sneeze at home, and he'll go, and I'll go, bless you, and he'll go, thank you. But he's waiting for that blessing. And I know he's not going to get the bubonic plague. Praise God. So, but that was just a little note. Let's go to, now the girls sang this morning, and I thought, yeah, that's right on time. Let's go to Numbers chapter 6. This is in the New King James Version. Verse 24 to 27. Most of us have committed this to memory. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall all put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Now here's the thing. They will put his name on them, and I will bless them. Does it say he may maybe bless us? Or he might bless us? No, it says he will bless us. Now, here's the thing. Here's the nugget. We are called believers, or we are called Christians, Christ-like. He has put his blessing on us. We are called by his name. So that's an important nugget. So let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. This is where we get into the prayer of Jabez. And a lot of people have preached on this. There's been whole ministries started over these two verses. Books wrote about it. And though Jabez is not mentioned very much in the Bible, this prayer was recorded. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Now, his name literally meant, he makes me sorrowful, or he causes pain. Now, how would you like to go through your life being known as, you make me sorrowful, and you cause me a lot of pain? What a name to give a child, a baby. But that's what they did back then. Their names meant something. Now, Jabez, as he grew up, he thought he was more than that. He was more than what people called him, more than what his name meant. He was more than that. And there's people here today, and people that are listening to this message, you're more than that. You're more than what people have called you, than your reputation, than your name, than what you've done or what you have done, because now you're a child of God. He's put his blessing on you. And you don't have to live up to that name. You have a new name. You have a new identity. You have a new blessing. So you're more. Be more. So, one of the things I noticed is they said he was honorable. Well, I thought, well, these two verses, how can I show that he was honorable? In what way was he honorable, Lord? And this is what he showed me. He prayed. See? And Jabez called on God of Israel, saying, he's praying, oh, that you bless me indeed. Now, when you say you bless me indeed, that's like in capital letters with exclamation points. He really wants the blessing of God. Bless me indeed and enlarge my territory that your hand would be with me. And what he owned, what belonged to him. Back then they had some occupations. Some were shepherds, some farmers, some bows, some shopkeepers. But the main occupation was shepherding and farming. So if you had more territory, you had more power. You had more finances to work with. You had more blessing on your life. When you spoke, people listened. So he was saying, enlarge everything that you've given me, Lord. Give me more. Enlarge my territory. We have to redefine what our territory is. It's not just our property and what we got. I have a bigger territory than that. I have a church family. I have children. I have grandchildren. I minister to people in the community. I have a community that I live in. Enlarge my territory. And when you get that, Lord, enlarge it even more. Your territory is ever expanding if you walk with God. It's not just me and my husband or me and my wife and us two or three or whatever. You have a large territory if you let God put the blessing on you. Bless me indeed, enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me. So we learn that he called on God to be his father, and he wanted his hand on him. And I don't want God ever to take his hand off of me. Stuff happens when he does that, and none of it's good. And you can feel it when you've fallen. There's a verse that goes, he is able to keep you from stumbling. And he is. But you've got to be willing to listen. And don't. What comes before, what comes after a stumble, Casey Renee? When you stumble, you fall. So the thing is, and the only time you can stumble is when you're walking. Right? If you're standing still, you're not going to stumble. But God doesn't want you to stand still, so you got to walk, right? You got to walk with him. But if you walk away from him and you're walking with someone else, you're going to stumble and you're going to fall. So a stumble comes before a fall. And you want that hand on him, on you, his hand on you. He recognized that he needed God in that verse. He wanted his hand on him. He wanted God's presence. And he desired his blessing. And then you read on. Your hand would be on me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I might not cause pain. What he was actually causing is that he caused pain. And he's saying here, Lord, stay with me, keep your hand on me, and keep me from causing pain. Don't cause me to cause anyone hurt or pain. Keep me from evil. And me, myself, he was saying, keep me from evil. The very words that he's in that one verse, he keeps us from stumbling. He keeps you from doing evil. But you got to remember your position in him. If you walk away from him and you walk into the arena of temptation, you're going to enter into evil. That's where Satan lives. He likes it there, and he likes to keep you there. So God granted him what he requested. Amen. So we should want the blessing of God. So he made four requests. Oh, that you would greatly bless me indeed, extend my borders, my territory, your hand would be with me, and you'd keep me from harm and evil. Let's go to Proverbs 10:22. When you ask for God's blessing, you're not, we do it kind of flippantly. God bless you. You sneeze. God bless this food I eat. Here's what I picture sometimes when people are praying. Dwayne, it's like it's a big baseball game. And you got the batter, he's standing there. And there's the plate, you got the pitcher, you got that guy behind you, what's his name? Catcher. Someone prays, and they're praying so fast you can't understand what they're saying. And I don't know if you've ever been, we used to go to Evansville baseball games, and he'd step up to the plate, and they'd go, batter, 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 trying to make him nervous. And I'd get so mad. I wanted to say, I almost got in the flesh. Shut up. Don't be talking to my grandson like that. He's concentrating, but I didn't. So he's standing there, he's waiting for the ball, and it comes so fast, you know, he didn't see it. And that's how some of our prayers are. We talk them so fast, you can't even hear them. And poor Jesus, well, not poor Jesus, but Jesus is back there with the catcher mitt, and it comes so fast and almost knocks him over. He doesn't want that. He wants you to talk to him. Have a conversation with him. You know, a lot of people, single people and people that are dating, they want to have a wife or a husband, they want to have a relationship, but they don't want to invest anything in it. Come on now. It ain't all emotions. That can last for a week or two, you know. But you have to invest some time in that person. I lived next door to this guy for years. We invested time in each other at first. I remember I was in elementary school, Dwayne. He was already in high school. And it was raining. He stopped and picked me up. I got so excited. I thought, oh. I got in that car and I thought, I hope my friends are watching. But we invested time with each other. He didn't just fall in love with me. He talked to me. We talked about what we liked. He took me to church. He told me about Jesus. I thought he was crazy at first. But you have to invest in your relationships. You can't just jump into something, get all hot and bothered. Come on. You got to invest some time with your relationship with the Lord, too. It's not an emotional thing. It's an investment of a relationship. You got to talk to him. You got to walk with him. You got to work with him. So Jabez was talking to the Lord. He was praying. If you leave the blessing up to God, what it would be and when and how and where, it will be so amazing. You will be so shocked what God will do for you. He will help you no matter what. It's like throwing yourself into an ocean of His will, His power, and His purpose. The guaranteed byproduct of this blessing of life is marked by miracles. Let's go to Matthew 7:7. You guys know this one too. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened up to you. He wants you to ask. Not just once or twice. He wants you to knock. Lord, I'm here again. I'm asking for this. I'm asking for my healing, Father. I know you've already given it to me. It's one of your promises. I want it to manifest in my body. Ask. Keep asking. Keep knocking. He wants you to. I remember when I was a kid growing up, I wanted this navy blue, they call them pea coats, and they're like navy coats, you know. And this one had a red scarf. And it was made out of wool. I wanted it so bad. I wanted it for Christmas, Brenda, and I was about 12 years old. I mean, I tied myself to the store to that rack that it was hanging on and told my mom, I have to have it. Mom, I know it's $20, but I have to have it for Christmas. She said, no, it's too much. Too much money. I said, okay. I just kept asking her every time. She said, what do you want for Christmas? You know that coat, Mom? I want that coat so bad. It has gold buttons. Have you ever seen a coat with gold buttons? Well, this one has gold buttons. Do you know what was in it there for Christmas? My coat. How long did you wear it? Till the sleeves got too short. And it started out down here and it come up to here when it's done. But that's how the Lord wants you to be. As bad as I wanted that coat, I want His presence more. If you don't ask for His blessing, He wants you to ask because it is His nature to bless you. How many of you would deny your children anything if it was your power to give it to them? None of us. If it was in our power to give it to them, we would. Make it a commitment to ask God to bless you every day. What counts is knowing who you are and what you want to be in the Lord and asking for it. Oh, that you would enlarge my territory. Jabez had more than just property. It was his power, a sign of his power, his influence, his income, his opportunity, his responsibility. It was a way of making a mark for God in his community or to the nation of Israel. Jabez concluded that he was born for more. He was more than his name said. He was more than just causing people pain or causing his mom sorrow. He was more than that. He was better than that. You know what? You're more than that. You're better than that. You're destined to succeed. Ask God for it. Here's a nugget that I wrote. I thought God gave me this. Just dropped it in my spirit. Write this down. God becomes great through you, not because of you. How true is that? How many of us get the big head sometimes? I remember when I was going through nursing. There's a heart rhythm called VTAC. VTAC will kill you in seconds. You have to convert someone either with the paddles or chemically. And I could pick up on it quicker than anybody. And I got prideful. God has a way of putting you in your place. If you won't listen, he'll do it the hard way. Don't become prideful. Humble yourself in front of him. You know, we take communion. How many of you ladies find it hard to kneel anymore? I can't hardly kneel. But then God told me, remember the two that went up into the temple? One was a tax collector. One was a Pharisee. And one of them was telling God how great he was, how important he was. He was very prideful. And the tax collector humbled himself, asked for forgiveness. You want to learn from that. If you can't kneel, you stand. Humble yourself. What he did for us was so great. God becomes great through us, not because of us. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Now, I've got pages and pages and pages of notes. I ain't going to go through them all. And y'all can say hallelujah. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. I am not sufficient in myself. It's only by His Spirit that I can even stand here and talk to y'all. And that is the truth. It's because of him and all that he did. He is our sufficiency, and it's all from God. The hand of the Lord is a biblical term for God's power and presence, and his hand is on his people. The New Testament with the hand of God has to do with, mainly, not always, the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Acts 11:21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. If you have the hand of the Lord on you and in you and working through you, you have the ability in him to change lives. For him, not for you, for him. Jesus touches ordinary believers with greatness by filling them with the miraculous power to spread the gospel through the Holy Spirit. Continually seek to be filled by God's power and anointing. Oh, that you would keep me from evil. And this is the verse that one of my favorites. It's in Jude. Jude only has one chapter. So this is verses 24 to 25. Do you guys know who Jude was? He was the half-brother of Jesus. Now, I had to ask Angelo today because Jesus had four brothers that are spoke of in the Bible. And that's in, I think that's in the book of Matthew. And one of his name was, and I told Sam, if I say this wrong, correct me, Sam, Joseph, James, Judas, there was one more. Let me see. And turn to 1355, Matthew 1355, and give me that one more. Joseph, James, Jude, and there was one more. his name is. There, he was their Jesus' half brothers. Same mother, different father.
James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas.
Yes. Judas, one of Jesus' half brothers, not the Judas that betrayed him, is shortened to Jude. And that's where the book of Jude came from. So did you learn that today? Okay. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. My favorite, one of my favorite scriptures. For the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Can you imagine the Lord becoming joyful over you? Over you. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. What a beautiful scripture. He rejoices over us. He's exceedingly joy to present us before his Father as one of his own. What a great scripture. Just look around and you probably can think of great spiritual leaders who have been tempted and fallen to temptation. Never lose sight of your dependence on the Lord. Let's look at, this is part of the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6:13. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil, from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, here's the thing. You can jump into the arena of temptation. I would recommend you don't do so. Because if you do, the fight is on. And it's for your soul. So how do you avoid that? Don't answer the call. When temptation comes knocking at your door, you better say no. And how are you going to say no? Well, the Holy Spirit leads you and guides you. And you should be able to recognize when that's a temptation or a weakness in your spirit or a chunk in your armor. And stay away from it. It's like a person who has a problem with alcohol. They want to get away from it. They ain't going to keep it in their cabinet, are they? No. You have trouble with pornography. Don't keep it around. You have trouble with a person, and that person that you've bound yourself up with leads you into trouble. Get away from them. Walk away. Walk away from the temptation. Is it always easy to do? No. No, but the Lord will help you. He can lead you out. He'll show you a way of escape. Satan will oppose anyone who becomes a threat to him and his kingdom. The closer you grow in the Lord, the bigger the threat you are. How true is that? I've seen that in my daughter's life over and over again. The bigger the threat you are, the more he's going to attack you. And he's not afraid to do it either. He can get you here. He will. For as long and as often as possible, stay out of the arena of the roaring lion who seeks to devour you. It cannot be helped at times, but do not fear. Stand strong. Recognize your enemy. Let's look at Psalm 107, verse 27. They reel to and fro and stagger like drunken men and are at their wits' end. So I started studying on what that meant. My mother had a saying. She had three of us children. She actually had five. She had all of us children 13 months apart. We drove her crazy. And there were times she locked us in the house to protect the neighborhood from us because what one wouldn't think of, the other one would. You know what I mean? So she'd lock us, and she'd be out on the step. She wasn't a smoker, but she sure could puff on one. We made her so nervous. She was at her wit's end. Now, she would say, "You children are driving me to Woodside." Now, Woodside was a mental hospital in Ohio. And that's what she was saying. But that wit's end literally means your wisdom has been swallowed up. You've exhausted all your human wisdom. So who are you going to go to? You have to go to the Lord. So if you think yourself wise, think otherwise. And call on the Lord and pray. Make it a point to ask for the blessings of the Lord on your life. And when someone blesses you, even if you sneeze, say, "Is that the Lord's blessing?" When someone blesses you in the Lord, it's not what they can give you or what you can get yourself. It's a supernatural blessing. It's Him imparting His blessing on you. And if you leave the decision up to Him, it'll be the best blessing. And guess what? I'm closing. And here's what I'd like to do. I would like my husband to speak a blessing over you.
I'm going to speak that which is proven to you.